Well, good morning. I'm so happy you're in church this morning. It's an exciting time to be in church. I mean, we're nearing Christmas, and Christmas is always an amazing time in church because once you start coming to church, you start following the Lord, you really appreciate the true meaning of Christmas. It's about Jesus coming, bringing salvation to humanity. It's just the bomb once you get saved, okay? So we're happy you're here. We're excited about next weekend. We're having our Christmas candlelight celebrations both in Edenton and Elizabeth City. And that Christmas candlelight service is designed really as just a platform to where you can bring your friends and family and invite them to church and just expose them to a great night. And I guarantee you, if I only have 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to preach the gospel and preach the love of God to everyone who comes. So bring somebody out. It's going to be a great time. So over the past 3 weeks, I've been preaching a sermon series called The Christmas Songs. And the Christmas songs are really these four passages in the book of Luke, all surrounding the birth of Jesus, where individuals, or in our case today, a group of angels, break forth in heavenly praise to God. Okay, so we're going to look this morning at Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And as I read this, my mind is just going back to a few years ago when we had a group of people from our church with us in Israel, and we actually went over to Bethlehem and stood on this mountain and looked over into the valley, kind of like where the shepherds would have been. And just so happened on that day, there were some real shepherds tending their sheep down there. So it's just a beautiful scene that happens here. So let's read it. Chapter 2, verse 8 of Luke. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them." I mean, can you imagine this? An angel shows up to these lowly shepherds. "And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," pause, let me just paint this picture. Can you imagine this? These lowly shepherds. I mean, here once again in the Gospels, we have the good news coming to people that we would have never expected. Coming to the lowly people. Coming to some of the most simple people and the lowest on the totem pole, so to speak, in ancient Israeli society, the shepherds. Here comes the angel announcing the birth of our Lord to these lowly shepherds. And then the angels break forth in this simple verse that's become well known throughout history. The angels say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As I began studying this verse, I just looked at it in just such a simple way. First of all, when Jesus came to earth, it was an excuse, an opportunity for God to get all the glory. God gets all the glory. God in the highest. We worship Him and give Him the best praise. It's a superlative term, the highest, the most high. We give Him the best praise we have. So in this passage, God gets all the glory. And then number two, man gets, or humanity gets, the peace and the goodwill. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Goodwill just means the benevolence, the gift of God. We get the peace, the goodwill. God gets the glory. Hallelujah. We get the peace and goodwill, and God gets the glory. So I want to focus on just one word out of that, and it's the word peace. It's the word peace. And if I were to ask you today, do you believe in God? I imagine the majority, if not all of you, would say, yes, absolutely, Pastor Hans, I believe in God. But if I were to ask you, do you know God? Do you know Him? I imagine the majority of you would probably say, yes, I know him. But if I pushed it a little bit further and if I asked, do you have a deep, consistent, abiding sense of peace in your life? I'm not sure what your response would be. Do you have peace of mind? Is there a war going on inside of your heart and inside of your mind today? Well, if so, I believe this passage is going to speak to you. I believe this passage is going to speak to you. The peace of God in Scripture is something that's unrivaled by anything we know on earth. And when Jesus came to earth, He brought peace on a higher level, on a completely other level than mankind had ever experienced before. Now, I want us to look back into the Old Testament, into a short little passage in the book of Isaiah that speaks about peace in a time that was a troubled time in the history of Israel. Isaiah chapter 26, I want to read verses 1 through 4 here. The Bible says, in that day the song will be sung in the land of Judah. And here's the song. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Okay, fair enough. Verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, Y-A-H, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. What a powerful verse. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, or in God, the Lord is everlasting strength. Two things, I believe, are in this passage that are keys to giving us peace with God. Just two things. First of all, he says we must keep our mind stayed on the Lord. My translation says, keep your mind stayed on God. Keep your mind focused on God. And it says, if you keep your mind on Him, you will have perfect peace. Keep your mind stayed on Him, and you will have perfect peace. Now, if you look into the original language, the Old Testament was predominantly written in Hebrew. And if you look at the original Hebrew language, the term perfect isn't here. The term perfect isn't here. It's only two words, and it's the word shalom, and it's duplicated. So it's the word shalom, shalom. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you. Now the term shalom is huge in the Hebrew language. If I would take you with me to Israel today, someone would greet you on the street and they would say, shalom. It means hello, it means peace. But more than that, it means a completeness. It means safety. It means health. It means prosperity. All of these things we bid you when we greet you in Israel. Shalom, shalom. I bid you health and peace and blessing and prosperity and tranquility be upon your life. Now, follow me. I've heard it said that it could be viewed in this way, that shalom means hallelujah. Things are as they're supposed to be. Things are as they're supposed to be. So what the author does here, what God does, is he doubles this term, shalom, shalom. And why is it doubled? It's doubled to show the superlativeness of this kind of peace. It's doubled to distinguish it from any other type of peace. So what God is showing us is there's a normal earthly peace that we can experience. It's a passing peace. It only lasts in this life. But in the Lord, there is a peace that transcends anything we've experienced in the natural. There is a shalom, shalom. There is a perfection of peace. Oh, hallelujah. There is a perfection of peace. Now he's saying we experience this peace when our mind is stayed on the Lord. And in the original language here, it means when our thoughts or our meditations are focused or resting on the Lord. So when we focus our mind on God and He takes the primary place in our lives, then we experience this perfection of peace. Now, it's so powerful. What was happening in the land of Israel during Isaiah's time is that invading armies were coming against Israel. The doom was imminent. Israel was going to be defeated. Judah, in this instance, especially the city of Jerusalem, was going to be completely annihilated. The children of Israel were going to be taken away captive to a foreign land and put into slavery in a foreign land. And as the enemies are breathing down their neck, so to speak, the prophet Isaiah comes and he says, "Listen, you guys are looking to other foreign nations to help us," because they were looking to the land of Aram in particular to help them. Maybe they could help them be delivered from the Babylonians. And what he's saying is, he's saying, listen, there's no hope in that. If you're looking to another foreign power to help us here, it's not going to work. But he says, there is coming a day when we will be singing this song. And it's a song that we look to the Lord. And we focused our minds on God. And because we did that, He came and gave us perfect peace. Hallelujah. So when our minds are stayed on the Lord, there is this perfect peace. And the term stayed has the idea of leaning on. And I thought about a ladder, that we can place a ladder. Years ago, I worked on the side as I was planning a church years ago. I did some side work for a friend of mine, and we used to pressure wash houses and office buildings, and we would paint. And we always were working on ladders. And it was very important to get the ladder stationary and very important to get the ladder set. And we had these arms that would kind of, you know, make sure you stabilize the ladder. But the most important thing about working a ladder, and this is ridiculous, I know, to some of you guys who do this, but the most important thing was, make sure your ladder is leaning against the right home. Because when we would go in these neighborhoods, there would be sometimes only a few feet between homes, and, you know, if I was painting this house and it wasn't the house we were supposed to be painting, that wouldn't have been a good day. We have to make sure your ladder is leaning against the right structure. Make sure your ladder is leaning against the right structure. Now let's go into the next thing. The next thing he says, keep your minds, he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in you. So first of all, we have to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. Second thing, we have to trust in the Lord. Keep your mind stayed on God. And then trust in God. Judah was trusting and looking to other countries to bail them out of this problem they had. They were not resting in the peace of God. They were not trusting in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." The problem is sometimes in life we place our ladder and we lean our ladder on people instead of the Lord. Sometimes we're making people gods with a little g. We're making people, we're taking our eyes off the Lord and we're leaning our ladder against the wrong structure. Where he's encouraging the Israelites, place your ladder, place your trust on the Lord. And here he uses this term, Yah, in the New King James that I'm reading, Y-A-H. And this is their way of translating a four-letter term that we lost the pronunciation of throughout history because it was the highest name of God. And it was the highest name of God. And because of that, the Jews wouldn't pronounce it. And so it was lost through history. So the English translators, when they were translating the Old Testament, the best they could do with it was just translate it as Jehovah. So if you're reading an older translation, it may say Jehovah in that verse. Some others say it should be translated as Yahweh. But whatever, it speaks of God in the highest of all terms. That if you want to lean your ladder against someone in this life, let me tell you, lean it against the Most High. Put your trust in God, who has the ability to give you a peace like this world can't give, like no one on earth can give. Hey, even your husband, even your wife, even your parents, even your job, even your boss, yeah, they give us a certain sense of security and we find peace in that to a certain sense, but not like God can give. And some of you have been trusting in the arm of flesh. You've been trusting in man instead of trusting in God. You've been looking to others to satisfy the longing in your heart, when I can guarantee you God is the only one who can satisfy the deep longing and the cries of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to his own understanding. Now he goes on and he says, For we'll trust in the Lord, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. And this is so beautiful. My Bible has it translated everlasting strength. But if you dig into the original language, it actually means a rock. That the Lord is the everlasting rock. And in particular, it's a rock under which we seek shelter. Like in a cleft of the rock, like in a hollow in the rock. We go under it and seek shelter. And this is used over and over and over in the Old Testament. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, for their rock, talking of other nations, the Israelites say, for their rock is not like our rock. I mean, some people are trusting in riches and wealth, and they're trusting in the arm of flesh, and they're trusting in cars and reputation and education, and all that's fine and nothing's wrong with it, but that rock is not like the rock I'm talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 22, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. And then Psalm 62, verse 2, for he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. No matter what's going on in your life, we can run to the rock. We can run to the everlasting rock and seek shelter under it, and we find perfect peace. Hallelujah. Earlier in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9, Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Messiah who would be Jesus. And notice what he said. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he said, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. He would be known as the Prince of Peace, the head of all peace, one who brings peace like no one else can give. Can somebody raise your hands and just shout hallelujah this morning? You think about it. We've come full circle now in this, from beginning in Luke chapter 2 to coming to Isaiah chapter 26 and now Isaiah chapter 9, that salvation and peace are inseparably linked. That when you receive salvation, peace is a byproduct of that. Jesus came in human form to show us what a person walking in perfect peace looks like. Talk about an example of a mind stayed on the Father. In Him we see this complete trust, this absolute surrender of will, this unswerving obedience that is the essence of true peace. He went to the cross to atone for our sins. He came through the beatings. He came through the humiliation. He came through the Garden of Gethsemane and walked through all of that excruciating trial with complete peace and this serenity of being. Hallelujah. And now the Prince of Peace has the authority and the ability to baptize us daily with peace as a byproduct of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So everything necessary to provide us with perfect peace has already been granted through the coming of Jesus Christ to earth. Everything we need to walk in perfect peace has already been granted. Notice Jesus said two verses in the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 27. He said, I'm leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. I'm leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled nor afraid. John chapter 16, verse 33, he told his disciples, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So any sorrow we face in this life, any trial, any test, any trouble that comes our way, we know that we have access to a peace that's beyond anything this world offers. It's the shalom, shalom, the perfection of peace. It's like a man finding refuge in a storm. Hallelujah. Some of these pictures that appear in Christian bookstores, you know, and some of them have a picture of a person running track, and it may say courage or determination. And, you know, well, anyhow, I saw one of these one time, and it was a picture of a lighthouse at sea, and crashing around that lighthouse were waves extending 30, 40 feet, possibly more, up in the air. And it was just horrific looking, you know. But on the back side of the lighthouse was a man standing, and the waves crashing all around him, but he was protected by this lighthouse in the midst of such amazing force of the sea. Listen, people, that's you and me today. That's you and I. We're protected in the midst of all of this world's onslaught and all that Satan tries to bring against us. We're protected because we're walking in perfect peace, holding the hand of the Prince of Peace, celebrating the coming of the ultimate Father of Peace. Hallelujah. I just want you to lift your hands right now and just thank God for some of that peace coming your way in Jesus' name. So you may ask, Pastor Hans, okay, you're talking about peace and Christmas is about peace and all that. But why do I still lack it? Why do I still have no peace in my heart? I go home at night and I stay up late at night. My mind's running 1,000 miles per hour and I have problems here and problems there. Well, let me just throw something out to you. Maybe you're focusing your attention on things and people and possessions and success. And most of all, maybe you're focusing your attention on yourself. Because we all have a tendency to do this. It's human nature. We focus our attention on ourselves. And when we do that, peace of mind is lost. And emotional turmoil sets in. And a battle of the wills begin. And then guess what? Our bodies receive the brunt of the stress. It hits us with full force. It comes on us. We carry a weight we weren't intended to carry. So let me give you a way out of this. Today, make a determination that you're going to give it over to God. In fact, the last thing about trust is that the word trust in Hebrew in this passage, Isaiah 26, literally means to cast something over on someone else. Or it even has a more forceful connotation. That is to lay upon someone else. Isn't that powerful? Because in the New Testament, Paul says, cast your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. And the term in the Greek there means roll it off on the Lord. Take your burdens that you weren't meant to bear and cast them, throw them on the Lord today Because, my friend, he has the authority and he has the ability and he has the pedigree and he has the reputation and he has the power to take all of your burdens and lift them off of your shoulders and inject your spirit with faith and peace and hope and belief that you're going to make it to tomorrow and you're going to walk worry-free, so to speak, in Jesus' name. Somebody better shout amen this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I need this message today. And some of you are coming into the Christmas season, and it's becoming a stressful time. You're worrying, will this person be happy with what I bought them? And I've got to face this family member at Christmas, and we fell out 5 years ago, and I'm going to have to do this. I don't even have Christmas decorations up yet, my gosh. And Christmas becomes one of the most stressful times of the year, and it's crazy what's going on in the world. I mean, I saw the other day a newsreel of these people on Black Friday rushing into a Walmart or something and fighting over TVs. I mean, this is the ultimate lowest point of humanity in my opinion, when it's all about me and it's all about what I can get and I'm going to push everyone out of the way to get what I want. It's the ultimate exact opposite of what Christmas is about. Christmas is about love and giving and blessing others. And here we've turned it up on its head and it's about me, 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 me. Get rid of that this year and let it be about the Lord. Let the Prince of Peace come into your heart and determine I'm going to walk in perfect peace. God, you give me perfect peace. You steal my mind, Father. God, I need you right now more than I've ever needed you, God. You steal my heart and you steal my mind and you let faith arise in me, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Great missionary. One of the most famous missionaries in history was a lady named Amy Carmichael. She's a legend in missions. She went from Ireland, her home, to the Japan, then eventually ended up in India and ended up rescuing girls that were sold into prostitution in some of the temples. She wrote this. She said, "Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall enjoy much peace. If you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from that clearness of spirit, which is life and peace. And in that stillness, you will know what His will is." See, the world pushes us and presses us. You must perform. You must do this. You must be this. You must look like this. You must act like this. When God says, hold on, just pause and trust in me. Lean not to your own understanding. Listen to my word. Take it into your heart. Look to me. I am the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. The same thing the shepherds experienced in that field in Bethlehem. When the angel choir appeared and they sang out this glorious praise, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. This is your gift this Christmas, that the peace of God can come into your heart and so saturate your thinking and saturate your being that even your friends and family will think, what has happened to you? Something's completely different about you. And it's your opportunity to say, yeah, I met a man named Jesus, and he's completely transformed my life, and the things I used to fret over now I've given to him. The struggles I was bearing and carrying on my shoulders now I've turned it over to the Lord, and I'm resting in his perfect peace. Hallelujah. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing, God loves you and He has a plan for your life. If If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.